Larry, Egyptian authorities have detained a few.
Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope you're having a wonderful afternoon. Again, invite you to tune in tonight at 8 o'clock for the original War of the Worlds, which brought much of the nation to a halt as Orson Welles and his Mercury Theater had a very, very compelling and convincing account of Martians landing on Earth and launching an attack. Well, Pottery Barn has issued an apology and withdrawn a couple of costumes that have been described by critics as racially offensive. One was a sushi chef outfit. The other was an outfit of a kimono. Pottery Barn issued an apology, withdrew the costumes. My question for you on Air Talk is, you think this is legitimate, that people have a right to be offended at having costumes that have culturally specific parts to them, or are we oversensitive about that? And is there nothing wrong with wearing a costume that depicts a particular job which might come from a culture, like a sushi chef, or a particular form of clothing that's associated with a particular culture, like a kimono? We're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Would lederhosen in an oompa outfit, would that be inappropriate? Because it's culturally specific to Alpine culture, and would that be seen as being disrespectful for people who come from Bavaria? 866-893-KPCC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. With me is John Lin, senior contributor for 8asians.com, an online publication. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So I have to admit, I was really surprised when I read that a sushi chef would be seen as culturally offensive. My son went as a top chef, you know, an iron chef one year for Halloween. Now, that wasn't racially specific, but I mean, there are Korean sushi chefs. I assume there are Anglo sushi chefs somewhere. What is culturally offensive about this particular job being depicted?
Well, I mean, I think typically most people who do have sushi or go to a sushi restaurant, whether they be Japanese or Korean, do associate that with the Asian ethnicity. Certainly there are Caucasian or white sushi chefs out there, although personally I don't think I've ever actually seen one.
I haven't either. But
and I live in the San Francisco Bay Area and have been to L.A. In San Diego many times. So, I mean, I guess this is really an issue of associating a particular ethnicity with, stereotyping that into a perception that Asians are a costume and not necessarily, as you had mentioned, even though Caucasians or whites could be a sushi chef, typically in ethnic restaurants, the authenticity or the quality or taste or reputation of a ethnic restaurant is based on the wait staff and cooks of that particular ethnicity. So I think it's you know, one thing to have a particular generic, for lack of a better word, profession such as firefighter or a police officer as a costume versus something that is already associated with a particular ethnicity, because Asians have been perpetuated in terms of these stereotypes, not only in costumes, but in television roles and in other broader media outlets.
Sure, but I mean, this is a culturally, as you're saying, I mean, it is a culturally specific job. So if at least to this point, largely associated with Asian Americans, predominantly Japanese Americans. So, if you're going to do, you know, say there's a brewmaster outfit or something, and someone, you know, takes old, you know, German brewmaster or Belgian brewmaster or something, I mean, would that also, because it associates a particular culture with a type of job that's associated with a culture, would that be reducing? Would we say that reduces Bavarians or reduces Belgians to that they all they do is make beer?
Yeah, but I think, you know, in America, still the dominant ethnicity or culture is still, white. So to differentiate a Belgian or a German as a brewmaster doesn't necessarily, reinforce. I mean, I don't think, most people could distinguish which particular European country a brewmaster could be derived from.
Well, let me throw this open to listeners then. So, as culturally specific Halloween costumes, are those just by nature offensive because they reduce the complexity of a people to the costume, to a stereotype, whether it's a sombrero you're talking about, whether it's a kimono, whether it's lederhosen, whatever it is, 866-893-KPECC, a kilt, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Would taking, a bagpipe and a kilt and wearing that for Halloween, would that be culturally offensive because it's stereotyping Scots? 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Red in downtown Los Angeles, you're on Air Talk.
Hi, KPCC, I love you guys, and I'm just so happy to be a part of this conversation. I believe that people are too controlling. How dare you think that you have the right to own any type of costume or any type of dress wear that you didn't particularly design or put a patent on? I mean, if you feel that it's culturally offensive to you, then that means you're owning it. That means that that is something that you own, as far as you owning that you come from that particular place.
Okay. Well, let me bring into the conversation Ruth Hopkins, founding writer of LastRealIndians.com. She's also a chief judge for Spirit Lake Tribal Council in North Dakota. Ms. Hopkins, thank you for joining us. I know this has been an issue of sensitivity for many of the Indian nations across the country. So can you speak to that issue? I'm sort of, the point, this is a costume. No one really owns it, even though there are cultural associations.
Sure. When it comes to Native American costumes, there is a question of ownership and also respect. A lot of the costumes we see out are not only cheap, but they're insulting, they're inaccurate, they're based on stereotypes that are not based in reality, they're based on like 1950s faux Hollywood movies, that really don't represent us. There's 566 American Indian tribes in the United States alone, and they all have their own distinctive culture, their own distinctive regalia, which are not costumes. They have their own languages and land bases. And so to take, those people that have their sacred objects and their heritage, lump them all together and say, I'm going to make a mockery of you, and I'm going to say that I'm Indian, I'm going to say that I'm a Pocahontas or a warrior or whatever it may be.
But let me stop you right there, because it's Halloween, and no one's saying they're really vampires or werewolves or sexy nurses.
They're dressing up like that, and you are putting it out there, and it's not yours to take. And as far as being offended, people from the mainstream society, from the dominant culture, really, what is that saying when people from that group are coming down on minorities and other cultural groups and saying that they have the right to tell them whether or not they're offended?
All right.
They don't get to decide that.
Ruth Hopkins joining us, founder and writer of LastRealIndians.com. Let me bring into the conversation Sean in Beverly Hills. I understand that... I'm sorry, you're not American Indian. You're Indian American. I'm sorry, go right ahead.
I just wanted to say, sushi chef is an admired career, if we're talking about that. And that, that's just a costume. It's how you handle it, I think, during the irreverent time of Halloween as a celebration. If you're dressing up also as the Mickey Rooney character from Breakfast at Tiffany's, that might make it offensive. But being Indian, if you're doing just the stereotypical, maybe say cab driver or Quick Mart kind of Indian, and that might be offensive. But overall, there's so many other things. I think it matters how you handle it. But to make kind of a broad swath on a sushi chef costume in general being offensive, I think that's getting a little too sensitive, personally.
All right, Sean, I appreciate your call. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Joseph in Huntington Beach, you're on Air Talk.
Hi, how are you doing, Larry?
Good.
You know, I had a comment in regards to the outfits. You know, when I was younger, and even now today, kids dress up as ninjas. They dress up in karate outfits, and nobody's screaming about those being offensive, but the sushi outfits are. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a hypocrisy.
But,
I mean,
but they're all kinds of, but they're not all kinds of non-Asians who take part in karate, who own their own karate outfits. So there you could say karate, even though its origination is in Asian cultures or any of the martial arts, that it's been widely adopted. So I think that would be the argument, presumably, for why a karate outfit would be okay, but not a sushi chef one.
You may have never seen a sushi chef that's Caucasian or any other ethnicity, but that doesn't necessarily mean there aren't any.
Yeah, and one could certainly be one. I mean, I think that's certainly a legitimate point. I mean, the other part of this is any kid who's going to wear a sushi chef outfit presumably loves sushi. I mean, it's kind of a tribute saying, I dig the culture, I dig the food. That's why I'm dressing. Well, the reason that my son dressed as a chef is he loves to cook, and it was a way of taking an interest of his and presenting it as he went out trick or treating. So let me go back to you, John Lynn, senior contributor to 8Asians.com. I mean, could this not be seen as a tribute to sushi chefs?
Well, I think to a certain degree, there's the level of execution. I believe the previous caller, in regards to the Breakfast at Tiffany's and Japanese portrayal by Mickey Rooney, is obviously one of the, I guess, past worst examples of racial stereotyping.
Yeah, no one's going to defend that.
Right. So, in some sense, you know, I think if the intent and dress executed well, I guess the motivation, I guess, or the concern is the motivation of just trying to prevent from, in the future, other costumes of such questionable taste to come out. And perhaps the sushi chef is bordering on that questionability. But as far as the other costume in terms of the geisha, I think those types of costumes raise a greater concern, especially in terms of the fetishization of Asian women and highly controversial interest or perpetuation of, for lack of a better word, yellow fever. So I think these protests are a way of, you know, making sure that Asian American voices are heard, and that when companies such as Pottery Barn are thinking about producing and manufacturing new costumes for the Halloween season, that they, you know, put some forethought so that we don't continue to reinforce some of these costumes that are, you know, even more offensive.
All right. We're talking with John Lynn. Also with us, Ruth Hopkins, founding writer of LastRealIndians.com. And let's see, we have Marini in Santa Monica. Real briefly, your comment, please.
I was just pointing out the distinction between an ethnos, which is a people, an us. We consider ourselves to all be fill in the blank. And the idea of culture, which is everything that is learned and taught and shared in behaviors and expression of an ethnos, of a people. So one point, the distinction worth thinking about is it's one thing to dress as Geronimo, as a particular historical figure.
Uh-huh.
It's another thing to simply dress as sort of a reduced stereotype, literally just reduced to its bare bones of I have a tomahawk, I have a feather in my hair, I have that sort of thing.
Sure.
Drawing a distinction there.
Yeah, let me ask Ruth Hopkins just real quickly. Do you see a distinction that way or not?
Not really. See, when you talk about honoring people, it's not honoring if that group does not feel honored by the behavior. And as far as dressing as Geronimo, I don't think people who are not Native have any business dressing as Geronimo either.
All right.
He's a hero. He's a legend among the Apache and Native American sentiment.
And it trivializes him, degresses him, is what you're saying.
Yes. And okay. Also, you know, about feathers, you know, eagle feathers, tomahawks, especially war bonnets, those are sacred objects. They all mean something. So, you know, even to our spirituality and our, you know, our ways of belief, that is incredibly offensive.
So it'd be like carrying, it'd be like having a Bible for other people as a part of a Halloween costume. I appreciate it very much, Ruth Hopkins. We have some very passionate points of view that are coming in on the Air Talk page. I encourage you to read it, kpcc.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll join you tomorrow morning at 11 for the next Air Talk on 89.3.